The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of The North Remembers is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. Spring is here and my skin, after winter, guys, I look like the Night King. Anyone else feeling me? Listen, if you're in need for a brand new skincare regime or maybe you want to zhuzh up your makeup, I'm here to help you out. And because you are a listener of The North Remembers, I'm going to hook you up. All you got to do is head on over to Facebook or Instagram, search the hashtag Minute with Mary, connect with me there, and I'm going to give you a 10% off discount just because you're a listener of this podcast and I love you.
I know death. He's got many faces. I look forward to seeing this one.
Everything you did brought you where you are now. Where you belong.
They're coming. Our enemy doesn't tire. Doesn't stop. Doesn't feel.
I promise to fight for the living. I intend to keep that promise.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The North Remembers. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Game of Thrones on HBO, so sit back and relax, because winter's here. Hey everybody, how's it going? My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and we are a week out. Not even a week. We're not even a week. I think we're 6 days.
We are 6 mere days away from the final season of Game of Thrones. I can't even handle it, guys. It's funny because as we've been talking with some friends, now that winter has ended in our area of the country, people are like, oh, so when are you free? And I'm like, not Sundays and Mondays. Tell you what. Not for a little while, my friends, because we have some Game of Thrones to watch and then talk about. Oh, man.
I'm not sure if I'm ready. Like, I had a chance to rewatch some scenes from season 7 of Game of Thrones just recently, especially the one with Jaime saying goodbye to Cersei, saying, hey, I'm taking off. Mm-hmm. I'm going to the north. And, you know, he's riding out and he puts his glove on and the snow hits his glove. And as he's riding away from King's Landing and the music from Rami and Jawadi is swelling. And I'm like, I'm not ready. I am not ready for any of this.
You're not ready? I'm ready.
Like, I'm ready, but I don't think that the emotionality of it all.
I'm ready, like James Fraser.
for those of you Outlander fans, I'm ready for the show to end, like to see the story, but I don't think I'm prepared for the emotionality of it all. Like, it's kind of like Star Wars. Like, it's always felt like it's like Episode 9 is so far off. Like, it's gonna happen eventually. Yeah, it's coming. Sure. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's here. Like, we're going to have a trailer for episode 9 very soon. And I'm kind of freaking out about it. And Game of Thrones is here in 6 days. And the story that I've invested in myself in since the mid-2000s, when I first picked up that book, Game of Thrones, is at least in this form, is coming to an end.
I know.
And it's
sad.
It is sad.
It's sad, but it's great. It's epic. And what I'm so happy about is that the general public is finally into Game of Thrones, because those of you who've been Game of Thrones lovers from the beginning, whether you read the books or maybe you started with the first season, I don't know about you all, but I was made fun of being a nerd.
Oh, yeah.
When I was wanting to talk about Game of Thrones, there were like two people in my workplace who watched Game of Thrones and knew what I was talking about. And I'll never forget, you know, oh my gosh, when Daenerys came out of the fire with the dragons, I wanted to talk about it with people and I couldn't find people to talk about it with. And I was like, what is going on? This show is amazing. And now it's here. Now it is so here that there is a giant throne in Rockefeller Center.
That's right. HBO flew it in from Los Angeles. And
imagine seeing that fly overhead.
Well, no, they took it apart and then they put it all together. They didn't like put it on a
I'm
helicopter.
I'm picturing like Dumbo flying over the country, or maybe like a lot of balloons like the movie Up.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen. Okay. They took it apart and they put it in a plane.
Enough of my daydreaming. So we're here to break down the trailer that dropped. There's so much to break down. Those of you who like to steer clear of trailers, you're just going to want to skip this episode. I mean, because we are going to nitpick the heck out of this.
We're
going to
be
trailer.
Here for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know that there's another trailer that has dropped, but this is the one that we're about to talk about. This is the one that has the real meat. This was the major drop.
Yeah.
The other one was kind of a teaser and it's just set tone really. And I think it was just created specifically for a trailer. I don't think, you know, HBO is great. They, especially with Game of Thrones, they create teasers for the sake of creating teasers. They're not showing you footage from the show itself.
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to set tone for the most part. But this one that we're about to break down is actually showing footage from the show. So I know we're a little late, but we figured since we're a week out or a little bit less than a week out, let's talk about this trailer. Let's get into it.
Yes.
And then we'll have our next episode. Our next episode going to be the first episode for Game of Thrones Season 8.
Oh, I can't.
So before we get into the trailer analysis and all the good fun things about it, I just wanted to remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast. Please do so. You have that little purple button that on your iPhone particularly that says podcasts and it says subscribe. Hit the subscribe button if you will, and any other podcast app of your choice. If you're an Android person, what are you doing? Just come to the dark side. Just become an Apple person, will you? You can always find us on social media. Just search Mary and Blake on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. And when you want to take a look at all the other podcasts that we have or any other blogs that we have, if it's about Outlander or Gilmore Girls or obviously this one or any other stuff that we do, just go to maryandblake.com. We are there. All of our stuff is there, and you'll be able to not only find those episodes, but these ones here too, with all of our show notes and everything that will be on that website. And when you're on social media too, also make sure you use the hashtag #TheNorthRemembers, whether it's Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. That way we can just click that little hashtag and we can all talk to each other with that hashtag. But for now, Marvin.
Yeah.
Are you ready to do this? Are you ready to get into this trailer?
Oh my God,
this
so is, much. There's a lot so going much. On There's here. So much going on. So how are we going to break this down?
Well, let's get into it and we'll figure it out first. Okay, so as we are wont to do, we usually break things down in ratings. And we usually have a cute rating system. For each show, for Outlander, it's kilts. For The Leftovers, it was how many Damons after Damon Lindelof. For Gilmore Girls, it was cups of coffee. For This Is Us, it is
lemonades.
For this, I feel like the natural thing is dragons.
Mm-hmm.
The natural, I mean, because obviously our children are obsessed with dragons. And hey, let's just do a dragon rating for Game of Thrones. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that
fair? I'm down. I'm totally down.
All right. So for this trailer, then, we're going to give it a good rating. How many dragons are you giving this trailer?
5 out of 5.
Okay,
sign
why?
Me up. This trailer gave me all the feels. I'm so excited. I think it was perfectly placed. I think that it was balanced with suspense and was able to give you glimpses of all the things that we're looking forward to and leave out things that, you know, obviously let the mystery be. They want to be mysterious. I just thought it was a perfect trailer.
I would agree with you, and that's why I'm going to give a rating that I reserve for very special pieces of media. Very. And that is a 5+.
What?
I'm giving this trailer an absolute 5+. Because we do, you know, ratings 1 to 5. And the very special things get a 5+. And I say that because this trailer, as you said, Mary, it leaves things to your imagination a little bit. It sets up some suspense.
Correct.
And it gives you a look at most of our characters, where they are, what they're doing. It's setting it up. But most of all, it sets a tone. It sets a real tone for what you're about to see. And I like it because in the end, it's, you know, trailers are all about telling stories. They tell stories unto themselves. You know, trailer making has become a cottage industry, really. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, there are companies specifically made to just make trailer cuts. Each one has to tell a story, but this one tells a story, but one that is more leaning to tone. And that's what I want from this. I don't want to see everything. I don't want to know everything going into it.
I agree.
I don't want to be able to tell the three-act structure of the season from the trailer. I just want a taste.
Okay.
And that's what this does.
I agree.
What do you got for your GBG? Your good, bad, and your great of this trailer.
So my good was seeing so many of my favorite characters back again, some of whom we didn't know if they were alive or dead. We didn't know, you know, what they were going to be doing, if they were coming back for this season. It was kind of like, you know, a high school reunion. Like, oh my God, hey, oh, look at you. Oh, yeah. Except you know that most are going to die. I mean, I guess that's true.
I mean, we're all going to die eventually.
Truly. Oh my gosh, I just had to explain that to our 3-year-old.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, not my best parenting moment. I was like, she was like, Mama, please don't die. And I'm like, okay, I'll see what I can do. my bad for this episode. Who the heck is on that boat? I don't know you. Okay, I know what, I know that that's like some Greyjoy boat action, but you don't look like the uncle. The uncle didn't have blonde hair. What's going on?
We'll get into that.
Yeah,
I'm
so confused. I was like, is Bree on a boat? And then my bad, my great is the fact that there is less than a week left. Like, there's so much that I loved about this episode, but the fact is that it is here. Winter is here. Like, the trailer is awesome, but like, let's just rock and roll. How about you? What was your GBG?
All right, so as with all things 5+, there is no bad. Instead of having a good, bad, great, I have a good, great, best. And so here we go.
A GGB.
So my good, the first G, is, and I don't know why this still puts me in awe, but it does. Seeing the dragon in Sansa and how she reacts to it, and having it fly up over the castle,
and the
effect of the snow, and you become so used to seeing dragons that you forget how fantastical it really is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, within the context of the show, I'm sure if you saw a dragon in real life, no matter how many times, it would be friggin' ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
But within the show, you're like, oh yeah, it's Dany's dragon. That's Drogon. Like, oh my God, yeah, cool. But you forget that Sansa is seeing the dragon for the first time, and she's just looking at it, and the way the thing flies up and the snow moves off of the wall, and like, I love that kind of effect.
Yep, I agree.
Because it could have been easy to just have the dragon fly up over Sansa, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
But just that effect of the snow, having it blow off, is, I don't know, it's really
cool. It was breathtaking, yeah.
All right, the great is starting off the trailer with a quiet breathing and showing a character.
It's like Blair Witch Project.
A little bit, a little bit.
Just without the snot.
I'm so sorry. You know, just showing that character, Arya, who is at this point vulnerable. But we, as an audience, have come to know her throughout all of these seasons as someone who is very confident. She has total confidence in herself and in her abilities. Something that we have come to be confident in, as a matter of fact. Like, you feel like if Arya's there, something's going to happen, and she's going to take care of it. I mean, as soon as she fought the Waif, you saw that come over her, that relaxation, and she cuts the candle, and the whole thing goes black, and she walks out, right? Ever since then, you're like, Arya's got it.
Yeah.
She's got herself under control. But having that played off of what Arya is showing you, she is running within the catacombs, which I believe is Winterfell.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. That's where I'm feeling like it is. I feel like it's Winterfell.
And she's terrified.
We have not seen this face of Arya since was the young girl.
Yeah, probably since like season 3.
Yeah.
Like,
even if that. I'm thinking like season 1.
Yeah. I mean, well, she was pretty terrified. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. It's close.
Like, she... This girl's scared. She's already bloody.
Yeah. And like very bloody.
Yeah.
And she's sweating and she's hiding and it's dark and it's only firelit. Something is chasing after her, obviously. But the best part about it is she's terrified.
Mm-hmm. Something that we haven't seen Arya be as an older Arya.
And you know if she is terrified as a viewer, because this is built in you. This is built in your DNA.
So we're all going to need diapers because we're going to be peeing ourselves.
Exactly. Right? So I love that. That's my great. But the best part of this trailer, as I said, is the tone. And it's the tone of finality. What they're showing you, like, there's no funny business going on here. This isn't like, you know, like, oh, jokes or like filler. Everybody is deadly serious. And the tone of the trailer is showing that. Everybody is all business. And I think my favorite moment of the trailer, and call me a homer, but, you know, the scene with Jaime as the fire is burning around him and you can hear him go, ah, like that.
Yes.
Like for Jaime to be like that, look, himself, terrified. Ser Jorah, terrified.
Nobody's chill. Nobody's relaxing.
No.
This is nobody's at Dorne, like having a nice little cocktail, just chilling, working on their tan.
Right. This is all business here. So because of that, I just love the finality of it all. Like this is it. This is the end, and I'm so happy that we're here to experience it.
Agreed.
So. You know, in years past for Outlander and for The Leftovers, when we've done trailer analysis, we've played it at the beginning of the episode, obviously. And I think what we should do, like as we've done in the past, is kind of play the trailer right now too, but like stop it. Between each cut or whatever.
Okay.
When we see something that's important, talk about it and go on from there. Mm-hmm. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right. So you know what? Why don't we do that? And I'll bring it up right now.
So much blood.
Okay, so we have Arya running throughout the what looks like to be the catacombs
of Winterfell. Bloody.
And I think she's bloody. That means she's already been fighting something. She's already been she's running from something.
Yes.
Now, it feels to me like the whites have broken into Winterfell.
I would agree. She's freaked out.
She's freaked out. And she's running from something she's already screwed up. So I feel like, well, it's setting us up. Basically, this whole episode is going to be one giant three-eyed raven time.
Oh, is that what we're going to... So we're not going to have a three-eyed raven at the end? Because it would be hard.
You know what? So let's just...
The ravens are here.
Okay,
oh my gosh, are you ready?
Okay, so the ravens are here. So I feel like either Arya is running from a white or... She is running from somebody that is underneath the catacombs with her, like that maybe has betrayed them in some way.
Ooh, okay.
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
I don't know yet.
But you want my idea?
Yes, I do.
I think she's running away from dead Ned or dead Rickon.
Oh.
Because this is the Crypts.
Right.
Like, this is where all of her family, dead family is. And when the White Walkers come over... All the dead rise.
Yes. Yeah, but like, I mean, how are you going to have a dead Ned?
I don't know.
Is he going to be carrying his head, dead Ned's head?
Maybe.
I don't know yet.
But I'm just saying that would mess Arya up. Arya's like pretty stoic. And if she saw like dead Rickon running after her or dead Littlefinger or dead Ned, I doubt they would have put Littlefinger in the crypts. So that's why I'm thinking it has to be someone from her family.
That would be interesting. That would be very
interesting. And like Rickon would still have a head. You could still recognize Rickon.
All right, let's go on from here.
Just picture that. That would mess her up, man.
Okay.
I know death. He's got many faces.
Okay, so here we just saw a shot of Sir Davos walking on the wall. Great. And we
see the Winterfell wall.
Yeah, right.
Because the wall is gone.
Yeah, valid point. valid point. And then we have Arya still running. She's running frantically. And then it comes up to a scene with Varys, and he's sitting in a chamber, which looks
pretty much like
below.
A Helm's Deep of Lord of the Rings.
This is absolutely a Helm's Deep feel.
Why? What's Varys doing?
He's there. What's he going to do? He ain't going to fight nobody.
Listen, he needs a piece of dragon glass in his hand.
That's true. Get out there. You're an able-bodied man.
Yes.
Go out there and fight. I would agree. But it also reminds me, if you remember, back to the Battle of Blackwater, mm-hmm. when Cersei and Sansa and all the women were in like that room that was being
with
protected.
Sir Ilyn Payne?
Yes, with Sir Ilyn Payne.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like to me here.
That this is like, you guys hold up in here because
things may go bad.
Yeah, I would agree. Except, where do you think they are?
I think they're probably down below.
Watch out. Dead Rickon's going to come get you.
That's a good point. All right.
You're hanging on the crimson with dead people. Not a good idea.
I look forward to seeing this one.
Okay.
Okay, so that is a much more confident Arya holding dragon glass.
She doesn't need dragon glass. She has Valyrian steel. She has the dagger.
Oh, she does have the dagger. You're
so
right.
So she's just like checking things out. I think she's talking to Gendry. I think Gendry's making like spears and stuff out of dragon glass.
Make sense.
So I think she's like chatting with him like, hey, you're cool. I'm cool. We're confident. Because she doesn't need that unless she wants an artillery of White Walker killing items.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm not sure. But this is clearly an Arya at the beginning
of the season.
Of the season. Talking to all of these people. Okay, great.
Oh, here comes the boat. Okay. Who are you?
All right, so this is a boat and it has the
Greyjoy banner.
It has the Greyjoy banner. It's a boat, and on the boat they're showing there's a guy in the foreground, and in the background are more boats, but a line of what looks to be sentries or soldiers. Now, this is the Golden Company.
Remind me a bit more of this situation.
No problem. So the Golden Company are sellswords from Essos. And if you recall back to season 7, when all of the leaders are meeting in King's Landing, mm-hmm. you know, Daenerys and Jon Snow, and everybody's there, and Euron Greyjoy backs out. He's like, I'm out of here. I'm done with this. What you don't know at that moment, and what is eventually later on revealed to Jaime, as a matter of fact, is that Cersei has made a deal with Euron to go and get the Golden Company. Because Cersei knows that all of these people are going to go fight the White Walkers. And she wants nothing to do with it because she is still, excuse me for my voice, she's still convinced that she can rule Westeros. So what she does is she takes the money that she got from the Tyrells after killing all of them, right?
Oh, yeah.
And she pays off the Iron Bank to get rid of all of her debts.
Okay.
And she takes the rest of the money and she's giving it to the Golden Company. Because the Golden Company is the most prolific group of sellswords in all of the land.
That Stannis was thinking about buying.
Right.
Because of Davos.
Well, no.
Davos suggested it to Stannis.
And Stannis didn't want to do it back in season 4,
yes.
Right? When he was searching for an army. So the Golden Company is coming to rescue Cersei and the Lannisters to fight for her. And she's using it as insurance against whoever wins, I think, the battle up north. You know, because if the White Walkers win, they're coming down north to kill everybody.
Yeah.
And if the living win, they're coming down south to go deal with Cersei and be like, what are we doing here? You know, so I feel like that's what this is happening. And the guy in the foreground.
So wait, where do you think these guys are sailing to?
These guys are heading to King's Landing.
Okay.
Right? So the guy in the foreground, in technically from the book, the head of the Golden Company, his name is Harry Strickland. And
his name's Harry?
Yeah.
George R.R. Martin. You came up with all these really cool names and you named the coolest sellsore Harry.
Hey, Harry. Hey, Hal.
Yeah, seriously.
He is the leader of the Golden
Company. He belongs to a bowling league.
I doubt that they're going to keep this name. I doubt it. Because you're not going to like...
HBO cannot name...
You absolutely go bowling with Harry Strickland.
Right? Harry Strickland is pretty much the captain of their bowling team.
I'm surprised that Harry Strickland was not in The Big Lebowski.
I think he was.
Everything you did brought you where you are now.
Bran. That's okay, Bran's voice.
That's Bran's voice. He's talking as the Three-Eyed Raven.
Who is he talking to?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because it's...
It's a bearded somebody. Although it may be edited like this, that he's talking to this person.
Oh, yeah. But it can be tricky in trailers.
Right. And before that, we saw a picture of Tormund and Beric Dondarrion holding...
So excited they're alive. I mean, you knew they were.
Right.
But when we last saw them, they were at the wall, which just got blown to shreds by the dragon.
Right.
Which, by the way, if they're safe, the White Walkers are pretty fast. Like...
Good point.
Like, the White Walkers can't be too far behind.
So you see them, they're walking, and they have the fire sword, which is a great visual. Who is he? I wonder if he's talking to Sam.
I think he's talking, he could be talking to Sam. He's got some pretty big chops, though. You know, some burns, some sideburns.
I'm not sure who he's talking to here.
Oh,
he is talking to Sam. Okay.
Where you belong.
Okay, so here's Cersei in front of her Queen's Guard with the mountain in the background, and Qyburn, who is the hand of the queen, on the right-hand side.
Yes.
She looks pretty satisfied with herself.
Oh, she's pumped, man.
She is waiting for something.
She's probably getting all of her sail swords.
This feels like to me, this is when the Golden Company shows up. She seems pretty happy with herself.
Oh.
Wait a second.
John and Danny.
Where are the Unsullied going?
Well, they're coming from Winterfell.
Can you rewind a second? Are they coming from Winterfell? Are they going south? Are they leaving?
So, yeah, no, they're going to Winterfell.
Okay.
You can see it.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're...
They're going towards it.
Yeah, they're
right.
Going towards Winterfell.
Now it looks like it's behind them.
Gone. And there's the shot of Sansa and the dragons.
All right.
They're coming. Our enemy doesn't tire.
Oh, stop. Okay. They're in the crypt.
They're in the crypt together. I wonder if this is when she tells him... We're related.
So they're in the crypt. I think he already knows. I think he's looking at his mom.
Oh, yes.
And he's like, holy smokes, man.
Oh, Mary. Oh. Abso-freaking-lutely.
Like, that's been what he's wanted to know his entire life, is who's my mom? Can you tell me anything about her? Right. Jon Snow is at his mom's crypt in that shot.
Absolutely. And it's great that as they're showing this, he has this voiceover like, our enemy doesn't feel, and they don't tire. And you have that moment of him looking at his mother. Oh my god.
I just blew your mind. I didn't even mean to.
Oh yes.
Okay, this next shot, we got some
forging.
Some nummy forging going on by Gendry.
I think so.
Doesn't stop.
Yeah, no, he was forging.
Doesn't feel.
Oh, that was my favorite shot. It looks like Brienne is fighting on top of the wall. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of fire. Clearly, something has happened here with fire and dragons, or I'm not sure what. They are at the gates of Winterfell, and Jaime is there. He's in the middle of it.
But that person swinging was Brienne, because it was a right-handed swing.
And you could see her hair kind of flopping in the middle, too. So that was Brienne. But that moment with Jaime looking out, and he is also terrified.
Yes.
Great shot.
Okay, wait. Stop here.
Okay.
That was the throne room.
Yes.
Who's next to Cersei?
Okay, so now we're in the throne room in the Red Keep with Cersei.
Okay. There's a lot of people here. There's like five other people.
Okay, so Cersei is on the throne.
Got some guards.
The mountain is to her right. Qyburn is to her left. It looks to me... Ooh, I can't really tell.
Right?
I can't tell. I wonder if it's someone from the Golden Company or maybe it's Euron Greyjoy. But there's someone on the right-hand side that looks like a priest or a monk of...
Qyburn. That's probably Qyburn, the one on her right.
Yeah, the one that's next to her, that's Qyburn. He's the hand.
But then the one in front of Qyburn...
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I can't tell who that is.
It might be Euron. Remember how he liked to wear a lot of black, like the Backstreet Boys?
Yeah, maybe.
But that's like kind of a dress.
And then there's someone in front of her as well, and I can't tell who that is. It's
that to me looks like the guy from the boat.
Okay, maybe. All right.
Harry. Oh no, Cersei's drinking.
And here's.
So, hold up. Cersei's drinking.
Yes.
No more pregnant.
Or either that or she was never pregnant to begin with.
Well, I think she's a liar all the time. She also was not happy drinking.
No, not happy. So, part of me feels like, and see, this is when we're going to get into, again, Three-Eyed Raven time.
This whole episode is Three-Eyed Raven time.
Right. I would agree. She was quite satisfied at the beginning of this trailer with herself, and she's here, she's alone, she's drinking alone, and she has this moment of like, she's crying. What in God's name makes Cersei Lannister cry, right? Like, she's cried because of her kids.
And that's why I think she's no longer pregnant. I think that's the only thing that makes Cersei cry is the loss of a child.
Maybe. But Three-Eyed Raven time suggests to me, Jaime dies.
Oh, that would make her cry too.
That would make her cry.
Yeah, it would.
It would make her cry because she no longer has anybody. Mm-hmm. She no longer has anybody. And that would take away that smug feeling of herself. She's probably getting the news and she turns around and it's like, oh my God. All right, so here we go.
Okay. So we saw the dragons, which have gotten really big, by the way.
They're big, and they're flying in the snow and the mountain ranges.
They've eaten a lot of people's sheep.
And
all the farmers are so sad.
And then seeing Arya with a reaction, I believe she's looking up to the dragons. This is probably when the first time she sees them. Mm-hmm. And then we have a shot of Jon at the Godswood praying. So I imagine...
And that's the Godswood at...
At Winterfell.
Winterfell. Yes. Okay. And... Where were the dragons flying?
I'm not sure. I mean, who
that
knows?
No, but that...
Maybe they're coming from the wall?
Yeah, because that looks like... That looks pretty north.
Right. Right.
But then again, winter is coming. Like, winter's here, so everything's covered in snow.
Then we're left off here with a shot of the Hound. Who
next to a flame.
Next to a flame. It looks like he's also at Winterfell, and he's part of the battle. And imagine the Hound, who has the fear of flame, fighting in this battle. He looks pretty roughed up here too. He does not look good.
No.
I intend to keep that promise.
Okay. What were all those bones underneath the dragons?
Though I'm not sure what bones they were, but they were definitely animal bones of some sort. Perhaps
like cattle, maybe.
I'm not sure what it was, but Jon and Dany are walking up to the bones. We have Arya, who is in full Arya mode, taking people out with some kind of staff.
Oh, she did get a different weapon.
And then we have another shot here of Daenerys, who's kind of looking sullen for some reason. I'm not sure why.
She just learned who she had sex with. That's probably it. We saw Jon running into battle.
Yes. The Unsullied, Brienne and Podrick.
Awesome.
All right, so then we obviously finish off with the Night King on his horse with the two legs in front of Ser Jorah and all of the army of the Unsullied and everybody about in front of Winterfell, about to prepare for battle. So that is the trailer. That is that. So... Your thoughts, what are the things that stand out to you most from the trailer, do you think? The thing that, like...
The things that I didn't see.
Yes. What did you not see?
I didn't see the Greyjoys.
Okay.
And mind you, like, they're not my favorite characters, mm-hmm. but I didn't see any of them. So I'm kind of like, all right, where are they at? We didn't see the Red Woman. And nope. I feel like she is going to play some kind of a role. I mean, A, we have Gendry there. We have, of course, Jon Snow. We, of course, know that she's told Varys that she's going to meet back up with him at some point. Right. So we're going to be seeing her. We didn't see the Night King. And we didn't see the dragon that he rides.
Right.
And so, I really expected, rather than a horse hoof, I was expecting like a dragon claw to come out.
Yes, that would have been cool.
But we didn't see them. And we didn't see any dragons at Winterfell.
No, we didn't. I mean, well, we saw our dragons, but they're not within the context of battle.
Correct.
Yeah, we saw them there flying and throughout the north.
But not at battle time.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay. Is there anything else that in particular that stands out to you?
Oh, I mean, there's so many things, but okay. Those are the things that I was missing okay. in the sense though that I'm okay having the mystery, yep. but those were things that I was like, where's this? Where's that? I'm just excited. Hopefully Gendry gets to make not just items with the dragon glass, mm-hmm. but I'm hoping that they can make some Valyrian steel because what do you need for Valyrian steel?
I don't know what you need for Valyrian steel. I imagine you need steel from Valyria. but if you remember when Tywin had the swords made for Joffrey mm-hmm. and Jaime, he said that there were only two people in King's Landing or in the Westeros that could
forge
Valyrian steel. And I wonder if Gendry was because remember he was an apprentice of a smith, and I wonder if one of the smiths that made those things was the guy that was Gendry's apprentice.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he knows. I wonder if he knows how to do that kind of stuff.
I mean, let's be real. He can do anything. He's got king's blood.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, how about you? What do you want to discuss?
Well, I think the thing that comes to me most to mind is okay, what are we doing here? Like, what are we seeing? Right? What we're seeing is a lot of Winterfell, a lot of the Battle of Winterfell.
They're just showing us what they want us to see.
Exactly. And I feel like the Battle of Winterfell is going to be a big friggin' deal. But I feel like also it's going to be the biggest battle ever filmed in cinema.
Yes.
Okay. But I also think that they're showing you that because the Battle of Winterfell, while important, is a table setter.
Yeah, it has to come early in the season because right. when you go from the wall, first place you're going to hit is Winterfell.
Right. So something tells me that they're trying to subvert your expectation as a viewer. You think that this is a big friggin' deal, and it is, but it's not as big as I think as we think it all is. Mm-hmm. Right. And that subversion is important because it sets it up, I think, for them to lose. I think they're going to lose the Battle of Winterfell.
We all need to be prepared for this.
Right.
Which episode do you think is going to be the Battle of Winterfell?
Either two or three.
Okay.
Either two or three. Because I feel like we're going to get the first one. It's going to set us all back up. We're going to get to the wall.
We're going to know where everybody is.
Everybody's going to be everywhere. It's going to be a regular length episode. It's going to be 60, I think it's going to be 55 minutes.
Usually their premiere episodes anyway kind of stink.
Yeah, because there are so many characters and there are so many different settings. They got to put everybody in place.
I don't think I've ever enjoyed fully a premiere.
No.
Like, be like, that's one of the most amazing episodes ever. But you're right. It's they have to let you know where all the people are.
Right. And it's going to be easier now because a lot of them are in the same place. So now it's more about setting it up for how are we going to defend Winterfell.
When do you think Dany and Jon Snow will arrive at Winterfell?
Episode one.
When do you think Jon Snow's going to learn about his mom?
Episode one.
Oh my gosh.
Guaranteed.
Okay, this might be the first time I love a first episode of a season.
It's possible. And a quick tangent. I think they have a problem. I think Game of Thrones has a Bran problem because Bran is Three-Eyed Raven now. He knows everything. He is all knowledgeable. He knows the past. He knows the future. He knows the present.
And puberty made him look very different.
And like he knows how this is all going to end. He knows what's going to happen. So how do you put Bran into the show to make him an effective character?
Well, how do you know that he knows the ending? I think that Bran is still learning, and it's all coming in little flashes. You know when you wake up from a dream and you're like, I had this dream and this happened, but right. If it's all foggy and you sit there and you try to remember everything else about it, I think that that's what's happening to Bran. I don't think that Bran literally knows every single thing that's happened and is going to happen. I think it's bits and pieces, and okay. He's really trying to refine that craft.
I see what you're saying.
So, yeah.
All right, I see what you're saying. And the other thing, too, is that he knows Jon's true parentage, right?
But also, Bran is gone. So, you know, it's... Bran doesn't like care the same way.
Yeah.
Like, this is no longer Brandon Stark, who would be like, guys, let me save all of you. He's just kind of like chill now.
Right. But he also has that special connection to the Night King. And he knows he knows that there's something coming. And he knows that if the Night King wins, it's going to be bad news. So it's in his best interests to make sure that the Night King loses.
Mm-hmm.
And how does he do that? Like, I wonder if he wargs into the Night King.
Ooh. Like, where are all the direwolves that are left?
I think Ghost is left.
Okay. Ghost is left, I think. Yeah.
I think Summer is left. Or, no, Summer's out. Summer's out. Oh, God. People are screaming at us right now. Arya's direwolf is still around. Remember, Arya and the direwolf met up and she ran away. I think that's it.
Okay. I think so too.
But again, I think subverting expectations, like, I think they're going to lose. And here's another thought too. I think Jaime dies in the battle that gets back to Cersei. And now how everyone's thinking, oh, Jaime is the one that kills Cersei. I think Tyrion does it.
Oh, you're nasty. I think Arya to do it.
I think Tyrion does it. And it would be apropos that I think Tyrion dies, and I think it'd be apropos that Jaime dies and Cersei dies. And I say that because, again, you have to remember arcs and the whole importance of it all. Like, I remember there was an episode in season four when Cersei was talking to Margaery Tyrell, and she's saying, do you ever hear what happened at the reigns of Castamere? What happened to them?
Yeah.
And they all just went away. Because of my father. And we also obviously have the song, The Reigns of Castamere. And I think it's fitting that Tywin did everything he could to further his name and further the Lannister family. He put the name ahead of his own kids.
Yes.
He put the name ahead of everything. And you would think that Tywin's punishment was being killed on the toilet by Tyrion, right? Because Tyrion was the son he never wanted. Sure, I mean, it's embarrassing and losing a life is never good, but remember, again, legacy and his name was the most important thing. The Lannister name was supposed to go on through his children and their children's children, which is why, of course, he refused to believe that Jaime and Cersei ever got it on to begin with.
Correct.
But his greatest punishment, I feel like, is not death. It's the loss of his legacy. His worst punishment would be what he did to the Reigns of Castamere, where his family, the Lannisters, are wiped out.
Oh.
So I don't think any of the Lannisters are going to make it out. There's no way.
No, I agree.
And which means, you know, all of them have to die. I think Jaime dies at Winterfell, which is why we see Cersei screwed up.
You think Tyrion's going to die?
I do. Oh. I do. And I think Tyrion is the one who kills Cersei, and she wants to burn the city down because there's nothing left. And Cersei's going to especially get it in the head, right? Because she is relied on now sellswords like the Golden Company and Euron Greyjoy and all of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the Golden Company may be the greatest sellsword group in all of the land, but they're still sellswords. Euron Greyjoy, she put her faith in that jabroni. You think he's going to be sticking around anytime soon?
No.
No way. The irony is that she thinks the power is still held on the throne, on the Iron Throne.
Nymeria.
Nymeria, there you go. Thank you. Nymeria is the name.
I'm like trying to remember.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
But
that's it, I think.
She's going to be left with nothing. And it's fitting that she's left with nothing. because she's relying on all these people to do her bidding, and she still thinks that, oh, yeah, yeah, I can be the leader of Westeros. I can still make this all happen. And if you think that the politics of Game of Thrones, I feel like it has been the number one thing throughout this whole run, I think you're way off. And I want your opinion on this, Mary. It's the battle between the living and the dead.
Yeah.
That's what matters most. And that's why I think this Cersei's out.
I agree. I'm Team Jon Snow. Let's stop fighting with each other and let's just go fight the undead.
I wonder if... Do you think both Jon and Dany will make it out too?
No.
I don't think so either.
I think Jon's going to die. Sadly. But like, let's be real. He's a tragic hero figure. He doesn't want to lead. He just... You know, he just learned he had sex with his aunt. Like, he's kind of messed up. Okay.
Right.
You know what he needs? He needs to go on the elven ship with Frodo. He's like the Frodo character who, like, you just need to get out of jail.
Nerd!
Right? He just needs, like, to go on a vacation.
Yes, he does.
Maybe he can go to Dorne.
I wonder what's going to happen, because if Jon obviously is proven out to be a Targaryen, and a legitimate Targaryen at that, by the way, Daenerys' claim to the throne is kind of null at that point.
Oh, yeah. No, Jon, like bloodline-wise, it's Jon is who is supposed to inherit the throne.
Do you think this dynamic will affect what happens?
No.
Or do you think they're going to put it aside and say...
Jon doesn't want it. From the get-go, he hasn't wanted it.
Right. And he's already bent the knee.
Yes. And he believes that Daenerys is a great leader. No, I don't think it's going to be an issue. I don't know if they're going to tell everybody or if it's just going to be a little dirty little secret. And then Tyrion's going to be like, why'd you guys stop having sex? And they'll be like, nah.
Don't worry about it.
We just wanted to focus on killing White Walkers. That's all.
We're just having a priority issue.
Like, will other people find out?
Well, Sam knows. Sam figured
Sam
it out.
Sam knows, but Sam isn't going to go tell anybody but Gilly. And Gilly's just going to tell baby Sam.
Right.
Maybe Gilly will tell Varys while they're in Helm's Deep. Since Helm's we're about Deep. To die, can I tell you a big secret?
Right. Here's another thought, too. There was an interview given on EW, Entertainment Weekly, recently, where the guy who plays the Night King, he said that the Night King has a target and he's going after him with a purpose.
After him?
Or after that target with a purpose. And he didn't say what it was or who it was or whatever it is. It could be anything or anyone. But I wonder if that target is actually Sam and Gilly's baby.
Because it's the boy that he didn't get.
It's the boy that he didn't get. It's Craster's kid.
Yeah.
Like, you remember in that scene in season four when they bring the kid out and, you know, the Night King's there and he touches him and the eyes turn blue.
The baby's eyes turn blue.
The baby's eyes turn blue and everything. Like, there has to be something
about
important
the baby boys.
About the baby boys. And especially as it relates to Craster, right? Because why would Craster be important? Like, why him? And why this baby? Why have this... importance of Sam and Gilly's baby. Well, not Sam's baby, but like Gilly's baby.
Baby
with
Sam.
Craster. Why the importance of
this? We'll call him
this?
Sammy.
Okay, Sammy, okay? Why Sammy's importance?
You like it, right?
I do. I love it. I think it's great.
Cool.
Whenever
I say Sammy, though, I think of Rachel Ray and sandwiches. I love Sammy's.
Don't. I freaking hate Rachel Ray and how she talk. Like, oh my God, Rachel Ray sucks.
Okay, continue.
So
Sammy,
yeah.
You think that the Night King is trying to find Sammy so he can make his eyes turn blue.
Right, but I feel like there's something important about that and why. And I'm not saying he's the end goal, but
well,
I think there's importance there that we're not intending.
When in that scene, when the Bad Crow took the baby to the Night King, the Night King turned the baby's eyes blue.
Yep.
In the background, you saw what looked like
a bunch of other
Night Kings, but they were like dressed up. It wasn't just White Walkers. It wasn't like zombie people.
Right.
It was like nicely dressed Night King kind of people.
Yeah, I wonder if those
and like
were
we've
other...
only seen like three of them at a time. So I don't know if it's like a Horcrux thing. I don't know if he's making like extras of himself, like clones of himself, because they weren't babies, they weren't kids, they were all the same size,
right?
Wearing the same outfit. They all went to the Gap, bought the same exact outfit, that part of the minimalist weird wardrobe thing.
Yeah,
but like the other Night Kings all look different,
right?
You know, and there's so that it was blurry on purpose. But that was a very important scene. And I
would
understand
agree.
What you're getting at.
I would agree. I think there's something there. And like, do the babies grow up? Do they keep growing? Do they grow faster? Why is it that the baby boys are important? There's just something there that we're not seeing.
You're right.
Who do you think has enough plot armor to make it beyond the Battle of Winterfell? Like, who do you think is gonna croak at the Battle of Winterfell?
Like everyone, who do I think has enough battle armor plot wise to
plot
live?
Armor.
I think that Daenerys has plot armor. I don't think Daenerys is going to die.
Right.
I don't think. Listen, I think everyone but Daenerys is fair game.
I don't think Jon Snow buys it in Winterfell. I don't.
But I feel like, you know who I don't want to see die? Podrick.
No, he needs to live. Him and his giant dong.
So Podrick and Daenerys can hook up.
Oh, she'd be happy.
She would.
She'd be happy.
She'd feel a lot cleaner.
I think
together they can bring back civilization.
Who has enough plot armor? I think Jon does.
I feel like one Stark needs to live because there always needs to be a Stark at Winterfell. So.
Well, they're all dead. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, they're not. That was stupid.
There's four Starks.
Right. I think...
Bran is going to do some weird thing and turn into a tree.
Yeah, but he's not...
he's going to turn into one of the...
you know what I wonder? I wonder if he does something to the Night King that makes him die.
Makes Bran die, or he
sacrifices himself in the Battle of Winterfell.
Okay.
Like to help prevent the Night King, but maybe it doesn't work or something like that. Like, I feel like Bran doesn't make it out because they have a Bran problem. I mean, he may not be all knowing, but there's something there too. I think I'm not sure if Arya makes it out. Although there was that whole thing with Jimmy Fallon when she's like, oh yeah, Arya dies in episode two and she plays the joke. There's no way they're going to have her die in episode two.
No.
There's no way. So maybe she makes it. Maybe I think Sansa makes it out. I think Jaime dies. I think Ser Jorah dies.
Arya can make it out to meet back up with Nymeria. Nymeria's coming back. Ghost is coming back.
Yeah, I you're probably right. You're probably right.
So Arya needs to live. Sansa doesn't have to. But you know what? Poor Sansa. She's had a rough life, so she can live too.
She's gonna live.
The rest of the Starks can live.
Yes.
And then Bran turns into a tree.
Brienne, maybe she turns into a tree. If he turns into a tree, I'm going to be pissed. Brienne, does she live or die?
I think she can live, but I also wouldn't be surprised if she dies, like trying to save Jaime or something.
Right.
Or, you know what? She should actually die trying to save a Stark or saving the Stark girls.
Yeah, I think she dies saving either Arya or...
With Oathkeeper.
Yes, absolutely. Good point. Good one.
So she's going to kill something and save the Stark girls.
Tyrion make it out?
You know, all the Lannisters are supposed to die, you said.
Yeah.
I would like Tyrion to make it out, but I don't think he can.
My theory requires him to make it out. I don't think it's... I was convinced for many years that Jaime was going to kill Cersei. I think that's too obvious.
Okay.
I think it's Tyrion that does it.
I think that Tyrion and Sam are needed to figure out how to make Valyrian steal with Gendry.
Yes, I would agree with you on that one.
Do I say his name wrong every time?
I think it's Gendry.
Why do I make it up?
I that's what you make words up.
I do.
And if you recall, back to when in season four, when Bran touches the weirwood for the first time and he has those visions.
Yes.
He has the visions of the Night King. He has the visions of the snow. He has the visions of the dragon over King's Landing.
Yes.
It laid out the whole future. At the time, you didn't know. But looking back at it, it lays out the whole future. And the battle is coming to King's Landing. It has to.
Yes.
It has to come to King's Landing. And I think that will fulfill the vision that Dany has in the House of the Undying in season two, which is why I feel like they lose Winterfell, the Battle of Winterfell, and they have to retreat back. And once they start retreating back, that's when things get interesting. That's what I feel like is going to happen.
Okay.
Anything else? Anybody else that you think? Bronn? I think Bronn probably makes it out. If Tyrion makes it out, Bronn's going to make it
out. Yes, I agree.
Anybody else? Varys, you think he makes it out?
I would like him to. I'm a big fan of Varys, so I would like him to make it out. But if he's hanging out in the crypts, little Rickon's coming to get you.
Dead Ned.
Yep.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, you've asked me three times.
Have I really? Sorry. I'm just all excited.
I know you are.
I'm all excited.
I'm just pumped to see some direwolves. I'm pumped to see some dragons. I'm just pumped to see Bran turn into a tree.
Not Brienne.
Bran.
Bran. I thought you said Brienne. Sorry. You know what? Too many friggin' names. All right. Ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
I want to thank Megan Barber, who told me that my plot idea of Littlefinger coming back because he was a faceless man couldn't have happened because you can only take a face from a dead person.
That's a good point.
So,
before we do that, there was another listener that brought up a question.
Yeah.
He was like, when I was last listening to you guys, you made me realize that Dany might have to make a choice between the throne or her dragons. Like, she's going to have to lose the dragons in order to have the throne.
Why? Why can't you have both?
I don't know. I'm just saying it would be fitting for her to have to make that choice. Like, the dragons are her children, right? You have to have a sacrifice. You have to have a viable, real choice. And that's a real choice for her. Like, remember, it's all about subverting expectations. So I feel like that might happen. Which, by the way, outstanding, sir. You deserve an outstanding for that one. So that's just my opinion.
We want to give a huge shout out to everyone who has written a review in your podcast app of choice. Mind you, guys, you've got 6 days. You've got 6 days to go on in there and tick,
tick, tick, tick.
What do you mean?
6 weeks. They get six. Oh, 6 days.
Six
from now.
Days before the premiere, because everybody is going to be like watching the premiere and wanted to dissect the episode.
You're right.
So head on over to your podcast app of choice. You could do it on your mobile device. You could do it on your laptop. You could do it anywhere you want. Don't just leave the stars, but leave the words. We want to thank Emma, who said, "Can you be too excited about a podcast?" No, Miriam Blake. What can I say? Any podcast you put out, I'll be listening to it. Game of Thrones has been a longtime favorite of mine. I cannot express the level of excitement over this podcast. Thank you so much, Emma, and thank you to everyone else who has left us a review. Truly appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, guys. And as always, please tell a friend that this podcast exists, that you enjoy Mary and Blake, and that you want them to join in on the conversation. And listen, if we have enough talk, if we have enough back and forth with you guys, maybe we'll do listener feedback episodes.
Hey.
I don't know. I don't know. You never know. Things, crazier thing. We're in the finale. In the final season. Throwing out all the rules.
All right, guys. You can see all of our other podcasts at MaryandBlake.com. Check us out on our social media handles. As for now, ladies and gents, I'm Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
And the North remembers.